What I love most about digital marketing is that it continues to change. And I think it also combines a little bit of psychology with the marketing side, which I find very interesting. What makes people want to buy from you? And in an oversaturated environment like the digital landscape, how can you set yourself apart from everybody else when there's so much white noise, as we call it, online? So that's what I'm hoping to uncover here today with you guys, is how can you squeeze more leads out of your website and your funnels through just some basic conversion optimization tips and tricks. Did you know that over 1 million new businesses launch each year, yet nearly 40% fail in their first year and 80% within 5? I'm Derek Schmidt, and I don't want you to become another statistic. That's why I started the Entrepreneur Bootcamp podcast. I'm going to use real-world experience and straightforward advice to help you navigate through the rough waters of entrepreneurship. Whether you're drafting your first business plan or aiming for new heights, this is your toolkit for however you define success. Let's dive in. Following this webinar, I will share links on where you can access the recording and some of the materials that I've gone over here today. So I believe everybody is able to see my screen now. You should see what looks like a funnel. And basically, I'm going to start these presentations almost the exact same way every time, because it is very important for you to understand the sales funnel and who it is that you're trying to attract, right? Your target audience or your ideal client profile. I've got tons of videos on this. I've done tons of these webinars. So there's plenty of material if you need help finding this out. We'll spend a little bit of time. Hopefully I can expedite that process for you if you're just figuring this out. But as we dig into the sales funnel, there's primarily four different stages of the sales funnel. You have what's called the awareness stage, and then the interest stage, the consideration stage, and the decision stage. So in the awareness stage, this is generally when prospects become aware of your brand and what your company has to offer. In the interest stage, these are prospects that know about your brand, but they need a little bit more nurturing through additional information. Then you get them into the consideration stage, and these are prospects that are almost ready to convert, but they need a little more social proof or more information about what sets your brand apart from your competitors. And then finally, at the very bottom is the decision. This is where ultimately they make the decision to work with you, and you convert prospects with maybe some sort of an offer, a product, service, or a demo. All right, so as we break down the sales funnel a little bit, let me zoom in so you can see. This list isn't exclusive to just these, but these are generally some of the services or the marketing channels you're going to be using at these different stages of the funnel. So you've got the social media side. And this is generally like posts highlighting recent work, personifying your brand, adding a personality to your brand, helpful tips on maybe industry, specific value-based content, lead generation offers, checklists, resources. Maybe you're sharing and posting reviews or case studies, or posts about like your involvement in local charities and local events, right? Your personifier. You've got the organic search side. Basically, this is just getting your website to show up in search engines whenever somebody is searching for a keyword or phrase as it relates to your business, products, or services. You've got the internet, radio, podcast, advertising. This is generally where you go to promote your business through products and services on like local radio or internet radio like Pandora, Spotify, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, etc. Connected television, OTT advertising. This is like your Pluto TV, Amazon Fire TV, Hulu, Apple TV, Samsung TV, et cetera. All these different streaming services that you're able to stream television through. The benefit to those two, internet radio and connected television, is that you get laser-focused, precise targeting where you can target demographics, geographics, psychographics, and interests on your audience, right? So it's a lot different than what I imagine the traditional landscape was like when you used to do television, radio. Then you've got your PR strategy, and this is just utilizing any press-worthy information about your business, your products, your services to generate some interest. In the interest side, social media marketing, this is generally where you're going to see social media ads. Maybe they are promoting a specific product or service. Again, with the targeting, you've got your search engine ads like Google, Bing. Remarketing, that's the creepy ad that like knows you were just checking out hotel or cars.com. You didn't finish checking out, but now you start seeing that product or that car or that hotel room follow you across the web. Basic events, workshops. So maybe you're the authority there, the expert, and you're hosting events or workshops that focus on providing the value to your target audience. As we move into the consideration stage, you've got email nurturing. So this can be things like lead generation offers, guides, checklists, anything to capture email addresses and nurture your leads. You've got remarketing again, potentially shows up in this stage. And then finally, you've got the decision. And that's basically where you create raving fans. So I put a lot of emphasis on this. I don't believe the work stops once you make the sale. I think that's where the real work begins. You've got to create raving fans because statistically, I think you are more likely to do business or sell people who you've already done business with by 80%. So why keep running the mill and trying to sell new people if you can just make your existing customers and clients extremely happy and they become your sales force, right? And you don't have to pay them. They start marketing your business. All right. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of an idea of the sales funnel. In my previous videos, I've talked about some different copywriting techniques you can utilize throughout these sales funnels. That is the problem, agitate, solution framework, the PAS, and the ADA framework, which stands for awareness, interest, desire, and action. Those two frameworks generally do a good job on helping you articulate, hey, I understand your problem. We've helped people just like you, and here's how we can get you to your success moment or your aha moment. So let me stop here and see if anybody has any questions, because what I did not say in the beginning of the call was that if you have any questions, feel free to post them in the chat. I'll do my best to monitor and answer those as soon as I'm available. With this, I'd like to break away for a moment and get into how many people are familiar with ChatGPT or have utilized AI at all. Johanna, we'll definitely get you a copy of that funnel. All right, Cynthia, yes, perfect. Let me see. I got to scroll down to my chat window. Daily, Jerry, I know. Johanna, all right, Charlene, perfect. All right, so the good news is that you can do a lot of this stuff, including the planning, the strategy, and everything for your sales funnel, make it hyper-specific to your business products and services, and help. It can even help you with generating user personas, right? So I've cheated because I've used prompts so many times in the past, the same prompts that I've really fine-tuned and perfected them. And I believe I've brought my years of experience in digital marketing and how I crafted these prompts. I've got videos on those prompts specifically if you're interested. But basically what I did was so that you guys and anybody who's part of our freemium community, they don't have to worry about keeping a library of these prompts. Basically, you can use just a chatbot. So ChatGPT allowed you to create these custom GPTs. That is essentially what I've got here on the left-hand side. So you'll see that we've got a handful of GPTs that we've created, which help in planning the strategy, right? For whatever it's going to be, social media, email marketing, et cetera. So with this specific one, I'm going to click on my Audience Insight Research Assistant. Basically, what this is going to do is this is going to scan websites. So it's going to be pretty accurate with the information that it provides based on like census data, local chambers of commerce, all these variable sources or various sources. It's going to pull in that information and then it's going to give me a made up name to fit however many personas I need to create, right? So 3 to 5. Now I've done a whole exercise on this. Again, there's a video if you want to really get into the weed. But the good news is that I've created this shortcut for you. So you load up this assistant. And for anybody who's interested in the prompt, while I haven't typed it out, let me see if I can copy and paste it here. It is basically, and if you need a hint, I would say now is the perfect time to take a screenshot. You're a marketing expert and brand strategist. I want you to create 3 to 5 customer personas for my industry, and that's a placeholder, so you'd swap that. Business using the following info. Your persona should include as accurate information as much as possible, and it should include things like education, job title, communication, preference, pain points, how they make buying decisions, where they spend their time online, where they spend their time offline, household size, relationship status, children, age range, average household income, average salary, any other information that would be valuable for me for branding and marketing my business. My target audience lives in, and then another placeholder there you would replace with whatever your location. Now you can make this specific to your city and state. You can make it regional. You can make it national. Finally, I say, provide me with the pain points that connect deeply and emotionally with our target audience. And I want you to create ads that resonate on a personal level and create the most impact. So again, if you don't want to worry about typing all that out or memorizing it, you just load up the bot and type get started. And once the assistant here, the custom GPT, goes through its instructions that we've instructed it on how to address this, it says, okay, in order to create these personas, I need a little information about your target audience and your business. Could you provide me any of the details? So these are optional, but as much information as you can give it, the more valuable the output's going to be when it comes out. So I would say my target audience lives in Wilmington, North Carolina. They're primarily between the ages 35, 54, blah, blah, blah. They work in the home services, the medical industry. I can say most of this information, and I'm winging this one, I'm curious what it's going to come up with, is available on my website, https://designloud.com. And my company is Design Loud. Hey, instead of me filling in all that stuff, let me give you my website address and my company name. I'm going to sit back for a minute and I'm going to let it do its thing. All right, based on all the instructions that I've given it. I see the first one here is my first persona. Let me get my mouse back. Sarah Thompson is the fictitious name. She's a small business owner. Age range, 35 to 45, female, bachelor's degree in business administration. She's the owner of a local retail store in Wilmington, North Carolina. Household income is 70 to 100,000. She's married with two children. She prefers email and in-person meetings. She has a limited marketing budget, lack of online presence, and competition with larger businesses. She makes buying decisions because she looks for cost-effective, high-impact marketing solutions. Online behavior, she's active on Facebook and Instagram. She reads business blogs. Offline, she attends local business networking events and reads a lot of local business magazines. And you can see that continues to go on as I scroll down. So I should have here 5 different personas. And all I really had to do was type get started and feed it my company name and my website. So if you do have questions, tell me where you got this information from so you can check how accurate it is. This should tell me that it uses various online sources. As I mentioned, the US Census, Statista, the Design Lab website, etc. I want you to cite the sources you gave me for the customer personas. And this is where it should go on to tell me where exactly it found this information. So as it currently sits, it is mainly scanning my website, and I see the links here to which pages it found this information and then which online directories it grabbed this information from. Now, once you have your user personas and you have an idea of the marketing strategy, and I can continue on this path, I could say, now that it knows my business and my website, I want you to create a funnel for me based on each stage of the sales funnel. And I want you to tell me what marketing channel I should use in each stage. My goal is to generate 20 leads per month or 20 qualified leads per month. My marketing budget is, I don't know, $1,000 a month, $5,000 a month, whatever. We'll go $5,000 per month. And I'd like to run this marketing or these marketing campaigns for 90 days. All right. So again, you can utilize AI, which is super, I get super excited about just based on where we are with today's technology, but you can utilize AI to help you with the personas and with the marketing funnel, right? Including what marketing channels to utilize at each stage of the funnel and make it hyper specific to your business. They give you a breakdown, give you the key metrics to track. You can even ask it for forecasts on what you can expect from each one of those channels. So let's assume we're good. We've got an idea of our user personas. We have a really good understanding of the sales funnel. Now, how do we start to enhance the website and the user experience? So there are certain elements, in my opinion, that help with websites that convert pretty high. And I'll go through a number of those. But first and foremost, it's going to be things like, is your navigation, do you have a clear navigation? So for example, I'll throw myself under the bus here. Now, when I look at myself as an example, I'm sure there's work that we can continue to be doing, and we do continue to monitor and optimize based on our data that we're collecting. But in this example, my goal would be that the navigation is simple and easy. Notice how instead of saying services, I say how we can help. Under each one of these, I've got a number of different pages. Now, this website I've had since 2011, so it has probably still over 50 some pages, but you don't see all 50 of those linked in the navigation. And an example of that is if I go to how we can help and somebody is interested in like SEO, they may not be able to get to our SEO pricing page because I don't have it linked directly from the navigation. But if they click on SEO, then I can use this call to action here to drive them to that specific page, right? So basically think of it like this. I'm guiding somebody down my website where I want them to go. If they've clicked on SEO, I know they're interested in SEO. The next thing they're probably going to want to look at is how to contact us or specific pricing, right? And then with each page on my website, there's a very specific framework that we follow. And that's generally, this is what we imagine your problem is. This is how, or some of the services we can help. We use that problem agitate solution. And then we echo that with like social proof. Okay, here's a review of somebody similar. Here's the screenshots. Here's a case study. Here's some companies we work with. Here's our ratings. We have over 100 five-star reviews. And then here's some additional learning if you're interested in learning. So I'm positioning myself as an authority, but I'm also including things like call to actions for them. What is it that makes us unique and how we can uniquely solve their problem, even on a per page basis? And then the social proof. And in this instance, I address some frequently asked questions. So in my opinion, again, this would be another great time for a screenshot, is I've actually got, as part of our process, like these are some things that we look to have on every homepage of a website. You should have, because this is your top salesperson, right? It's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. People generally will land on a website, and it's probably going to be your homepage, right? Depending on what they search for. And you only have 5 seconds to capture their attention and get them interested so that they read more. And that's not a lot of time for your website to load and for them to read something that just really engages with them. So at the very top of the homepage, I usually say, this is where you need to have your unique selling proposition and call to action. So if I look back at our homepage, and based on what we've looked at for our marketing or our user personas, we know we're generally working with either the founder and CEO or like a marketing manager, marketing director. So we say, hey, we're a marketing agency that makes you look like a rock star to your boss and your customers. And we used rock star before it was cool, before it was a thing. And then I go on to say, we use data to make informed decisions that drive results and help you build relationships with your customers. And you'll notice if you continue to read down the site, like a lot of the content is positioned around the relationship element, because that's ultimately what we're selling. Jerry, thank John, the ex-Disney guy. We're trying to sell an experience here. That's our product. That's what we're selling. You can throw a rock and hit somebody in Wilmington that does marketing. But what makes us unique is the experience that we hope to create. All right, so I digress, but let's go back to the other elements. Generally, after the unique selling proposition, you have the about us, right? This is what we have done for people like you. And then following that, you've got 3 to 5 pain points and how you uniquely solve those pain points. The next section would generally be your product services showcase. So it's like the best description of 3 to 4 of your services. Following that would be the social proof. So these are like user testimonials, award, accreditations, affiliations, etc. And then maybe some sort of irresistible offer where you can hopefully capture their contact information and start to develop a relationship with them to move them further and further down the funnel. And then last but not least, of course, you've got the contact form. And note that on every page of our website, I believe you should have the contact form at the very bottom, because I don't want the user to have to scroll all the way back to the top of the website to click the contact us link in the navigation just to send us a message. Like, I want the contact to be available to them regardless of where they are on the page. And that's why the very top, we've got get help that immediately links to the contact page or meet our team. Statistically, your homepage, your About Us page, and your services pages are the three most important pages on your website. So people obviously go to your homepage. They want to get an idea on like who you are, what you do, what you offer. They click on your services page because they want to know how you can help them. And then they click on your About page because they want to see who is going to be helping them. So those are the three top pages on your any website, statistically, on average. So with that in mind, I used foreshadowing a little bit. I was like, okay, people are going to want to come to our website. They're either going to want to talk to us right away. So get help will be one of my call to actions, or they're going to want to meet the team and see, you know, who works here and who's going to be helping them. So in any case, we present them with two call to actions. And I'll get into this in just a moment, but we also are split testing this, right? So maybe 50% of the people that visit my website are going to see these two call to actions, and the other 50% are going to see something like meet our team and then view our services, right? I'll run that experiment for 30 days and I'll see which one performed the best. In any case, those are generally the top elements of a homepage, but it is important that you have clear, easy navigation. And in my opinion, to throw myself under the bus here, like this here is probably pretty clunky, but it's the best that we came up with considering all the different services and ways that we could support our clients and leading them down that path on where we want them to go, because whichever they decide here is going to dictate the journey that they get on and lead them further and further down a series of pages or information that they're looking to consume. All right. How many of you guys do you feel pretty strong about your value proposition? Do you feel like you could confidently communicate that at a networking event or on your website, probably within a few sentences? Don't leave me hanging. There you go. Thank you. All right. I hope I didn't put anybody to sleep yet. I'm not even to the really good stuff. All right. Would you like to see an exercise that I have for coming up with a really strong value proposition? All right. Cool. There we go. I got a little excitement there. All right. So again, part of our process documentation, this comes from our library. This would be a good place to take a screenshot. I will try to paste this all in the chat, and I will definitely leave it in our free community. It won't let me paste that much in the chat. Zoom's silly. But if you do this exercise or take the screenshot, do this exercise to find out how to communicate your value proposition, which we'll use in your marketing. So write down no more than 1 to 2 sentences each, but what makes you different? And you can see in my example, we overly communicate. The second thing, what do you do? So again, using me as an example, we convert website visitors into customers. For 3, what the customer will do or accomplish while using your product or service. My example is they'll have no more ups and downs in their sales forecasting. And lastly, 4, how will this affect their life long term? My example is exceed revenue goals and exit their business faster. So once you're done answering those 4 questions, again, you should have no more than 1 to 2 sentences for each question to answer that. Now, taking the sentences you created above, I want you to consolidate it down to form 1 to 2 sentences. Using my own example, we overly communicate, which comes from 1, with our clients to convert more website visitors into customers, which will stop the ups and downs of sales right here and help you exceed your revenue goals right there. So basically combining that will help you articulate your value proposition in only a couple of sentences very quickly. And then you can start to think of like a foot in the door offer that you can provide. And this is something that's low commitment, low cost thing you can do to provide your clients. And don't think of an easy out, like free consultations. Everybody's doing that. You want to something you can do to separate yourself. So in me, and this isn't even what it was, but this would be considered a foot in the door, would be that free community, right? That community is like a low cost, inexpensive way, which it is inexpensive because like I said, it's freemium, For people to get in and get familiar with us and what it is that separates us, which I like to teach. That's what I'm doing here today, right? So then you know what your value proposition is and you know what your foot in the door offer is that you can offer people. And who remembers the statistic that I quoted at the beginning? Who are you most likely to sell to? Among us, I know you, I hope you're awake, right? Yes. Clients, you're more likely to sell to your existing clients. So if I can sell somebody on, I don't know, let's just say I would charge, let's pretend I would charge for a marketing strategy and I would charge Johanna here, I'd charge you $100 for a very detailed marketing strategy about your business. If I sell you that and you find value in that marketing strategy, chances are you're probably more comfortable doing more business with me. And that $100 for that marketing strategy may turn into months or years of us working together, right? And it all started from that foot in the door offer. And yeah, to Jerry's point, ChatGPT can help you brainstorm what your foot in the door offer is as well. So think about your value proposition and your foot in the door. All right. Now let's look into mobile optimization. We'll look into loading speed and then just contrast and colors. These are things that hopefully you'll see on our site. Generally, if there's a white background, there's black text or there's dark colored text and vice versa. There's dark backgrounds, there's lighter colored text. If we get into the responsive nature of it, let me just see what it looks like when I drag my screen in here. You'll see everything shrinks down to a responsive nature. Phone call is right there, right below the logo for anybody who's looking to call us right away. And then also I can click on the menu and I've got a big emphasis on my contact us or get started page, right? So mobile is just as important, if not more important than what it looks like on the desktop, because most people are viewing your website from a mobile device. Johanna, sorry, I have to leave. Thank you so much. Hope the yes, I'll have the recording. Feel free to reach out to me. Charlene, please remind me how you initiate access to ChatGPT. So to get access to ChatGPT, you just go to the chatgpt.com. And then it may ask you to create an account. You can utilize the free version of it. You can definitely do anything I'm doing in here with the free version of ChatGPT, or you can subscribe to the paid version. I'm not sure what the differences are anymore, but it was like $20 a month. I think you get access to the latest versions of ChatGPT. But again, if you're just getting your feet wet, get in, go for the free one. That might be more than enough for what you need. And then these bots and these prompts and everything I've got available, which I'll share towards the end of this. All right, so we've gone over the sales funnel and the customer journey. We looked at enhancing the website design and the user experience of it a little bit. Now I want to talk about how you can create persuasive ad copy. So one of the things that I most often get credited for on the website is the way that our website is written, the content of the website, right? The way I wanted the team to create the content for this is I didn't want to be like everybody else where I'm like, we're this, we're that, we rock, we're awesome, I this, I that, right? You might see some of it. Like, I know I contradict myself right now because it says right there, we're a marketing agency, but I wanted to put the focus on the website visitor. I wanted this to be about them, not about us. And just that little change, I think almost immediately separated us from a lot of other people. So we implemented that change where, okay, we're going to talk directly to the website visitor and their problems so that they know, like, we understand where you are. We've helped people like you 1,000 times over, and we have a proven process to do it. But we're also adding a little bit of our personality. So as you continue to read on, save yourself time and money and your sanity by working with a fun, creative, enthusiastic group of nerds. Like, we tie in the humor, right? And that's just me. That's who I am. That's who I think our culture is. We're just this, we're professional, we're educational, but we're also, we know how to have fun, right? There's a little bit of sarcasm in there. And that's echoed all throughout the website content. And it goes on to say, okay, I'm sure you have some objections. Here are some possible objections you're going to have. How will I know if what you do works for me? How will my experience be better with you than somebody else? How do I know I can afford you? How I've been burned by others in the past. So again, I just continue to address the reader in all my headings and my text. Nobody's going to obsess over your success as much as we do. And I passionately mean that, right? Like here locally, and I'd say probably 40% of our clients are local to Wilmington, but I tell them all the time, like Wilmington's still a small town with big dreams. I want to be able to go in the grocery store and not have to cut a corner because you feel like I wronged you in some way. Like I'm a very honest, stand by my work individual. And that's the type of people that I try to hire that work for me in my company. And that's what I also want to articulate on the website: relationship, partnership, a genuine sense of caring. But outside of that, you will see various call to actions throughout each page. As I've mentioned before, contact us, scroll up a little bit more. You've got these where they want to check out specific services. At the top, you've got these dual buttons, these call to actions, the phone number, the get started. So like almost no matter which section you are on the page, you're probably going to have some call to action, right? And this is all great. This was a great start. But here's where it gets interesting is that remember what was the second most popular page I told you it is on a website? Did I tell you? Services, close. Services are about us. So I implemented a split test. And my split test was, okay, I wanted to see for this experiment, how many people converted after they visited our agency page, which was the second most frequented pages. I want to see how many people convert with the team photos here versus not having the team photos here. So I ran that experiment. What you're seeing here in the back end, 526 people saw this version, the original version, and I had 8 conversions from that during this experiment. I had 580 people view the version with no team, so slightly more people viewed it, and I had 9 conversions from it. So if I were to look at this split test, and I'm on WordPress, this is a split test plugin. I used to recommend Google Optimize for this, which was free, but unfortunately Google, they did away with their Google Optimize platform. So now if you're not in WordPress, there's some paid services that you have to utilize to do these split testing, or you just go in and test it for a week, 2 weeks, 30 days, change some colors, change a button, see if you get any traction from that, and then you know if that should be a permanent change. But based on this data that I collected, I now can make an informed decision that says, hey, if we take those pictures of us, the team, off the About Us page, we will get higher conversions. We have a higher conversion rate. So I would do that, and then I'd maybe launch another split test. And that could be as simple as changing the text on a button or some headings. That can be a completely different page if I want to, right? So the split testing is important. And I can't emphasize enough about social proof and case studies. You see this on e-commerce websites. If you're looking at specific products, they generally have been reviewed by 1,000 people, 4.5 out of 5-star rating. Here's some feedback. I make a lot of my purchasing decisions for products. I'm probably terrible for doing this, but I do it mainly based on the reviews that it collects, right? I am definitely influenced by the reviews. And with that, I ask for reviews all the time. I ask for reviews for our clients because I think reviews and social proof will be a cheaper form of marketing for me than any kind of paid advertising that I can do. If people can find me on their own time and in their own way, and they see, they like what they see, they're more likely to do business with me than me trying to convince them with all this paid marketing and paid advertising. All right, so outside of those things, some tools that I want to share, I want to take a moment, because as it relates to your website traffic and your target audience, there's a free tool called Quantcast Measure. So write that down, take a note of it. Quantcast Measure will give you insights into the type of people that visit your website. So here's the catch. If you're attracting the right type of people to your website, this can be a goldmine of information because this tells you what brands they buy, tells you how much money on average they make, whether they have kids, no kids. Now, I can't tie this back to any individual. So there's still like privacy is still there, right? I can't tell that Charlene makes this amount and has this many kids, but it will tell me on average, what the general makeup is of my audience. So this can go to fund some of those decisions that I'm making on split testing or trying to create content that is geared more towards these types of individuals, right? even marketing. If I'm getting into my marketing, these can be certain targeting points that I may want to target in my marketing, in my audience. Based on my example that I've got here, I can see that the primary makeup of the audience that visits this website, 52% female, 48% male, 53% have no kids, primarily 100 to 150 and 150,000 income level. I could see that right here, ages 40 to 54, grad school educated, college educated. Now, if I start getting into some of the content interests, of course, it's not going to show me that. I can see the locations where they're from. Shopping interest. I know I'm on the right side. This shouldn't be the case. Do I have a filter? I might have a filter installed, or let me see if I can swap accounts. This, if it brings it up for me, maybe I can refresh. Will go on to tell me like what cars they drive, the year, make, and model, what brands they purchase from, you know, what television streams. There we go. So it was just being weird. What television streams they subscribe to. So if I go to shopping interest here, wait for this dial up to load. All right. So check it out. Primarily Chevrolet drivers, right? Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, GMC. I can get into specific financial info, right? What types of credit cards they have, home equity, life insurance, home ownership. As I mentioned, what restaurants? Let's look at diners. Let's look at brands, Buffalo Wild Wings, Burger King, Chili's, Dairy Queen, right? I can get into television. What are the brand owners? LG, Samsung, Sony, Vizio. I can see the devices they're viewing from. Do they watch together? Do they watch by themselves? Tons of information that you can gather from this. So like this type of stuff with this screen alone, maybe on my OTT connected television advertising page on my website, I may have an image of, since it looks like most of these people watch TV by themselves, I may have an image of somebody who's watching TV by themselves in a room with no kids, because that was the primary makeup, right? And you can see how I start pulling this stuff together. And because of where we are with technology, now you can use AI to create this image for you now. It's crazy. And it won't be long before ChatGPT rolls out the ability to create video based on prompts, right? And they've already rolled this out. Charlene, it's freaky to know this information is being collected, but I'm relieved to know it's not. Yeah, so it's not tied back to individuals, but yes, this is freaky to think about. And now you can see why I love what I do and I think I'm good at it, but I also don't use a lot of social media myself. But that's probably just a generational thing. I'm the last generation to know what it was like before the internet. I just dated myself there, so I feel pretty old and embarrassed. But anyways, tons of information available to us as advertisers, and this is a free tool that you can add on your website relatively easily. Of course, we have Google Analytics. You can inspect your Google Analytics to see over a period of time how many users. If you've got your event set up, added a product to cart, or they reached a thank you page after filling out the contact form on our website, they watched a video, they clicked a phone call, then you can start counting events and you get a sense of any trends you have. If you do make some of those changes, run that experiment for 30 days, do a comparison report to see if did I have more conversions during the time that I had that change in place or before? And that lets you know whether or not you should implement that change. But then you get into, let me see, which other freaky tool do I want to show you now? There's this tool called SmartLook. If you're familiar with the heat maps or Hotjar, man, time's flying. I usually struggle to make up enough time. Hotjar or SmartLook, these are two really useful tools. What you're seeing right here on my screen now is basically a heat map. And on this screen, I'm looking at where people tend to click on the homepage of our site. And you can tell by how dark the color is, right? So not a lot of traction, not a lot of stuff going on there in terms of clicks. You scroll down a little bit more and you get some interaction with the contact form, some of these links at the bottom, some of our social media buttons that request a quote. This gives me a sense on where people are going on our homepage. If I click to where do they move while they're on the homepage, right? Obviously, the darker and different the color, the more visibility it gets. So I get a lot of eyeballs on this section, which would make sense, right? And as I scroll down a little bit more, give me digital marketing, they tend to interact and see that button a little bit more than the others. Scrolling down the contact us, and then weird, right? Shows up in the footer that my footer actually gets a lot of views. Now, scrolling back up one last time, we'll look at the scroll. How far down do they scroll? So you see, as I start moving, 83% of the users reached this point on where I'm at. And this is basically the second section of the page. And then as I continue to scroll down, this is where we list our services. 66% of the users reach this point. Get down to the case studies, 60. Down to the reviews, only half the users that visit our homepage get to the reviews and below. So this is really valuable information for me to understand. Maybe I want to switch things up and move the reviews a little bit higher up, right? Or maybe I'm not attracting the right type of traffic to my website. And if I can do a little bit more due diligence on my target audience, maybe I can do things to drive the right type of audience to my website. In addition to the heat maps, what I love about Hotjar and SmartLook, and Charlene, this is probably going to make you freak out a little bit because it does me, but you have what we call user recordings. Now, again, you can't always tie this back. It logged me out. You can't always tie this back to an individual, right? But I can get a pretty good sense of what type of browser, where they're from, like the city, the state. And I can break that down. So let me see, who do I want to pick on here? I guess I'll just keep picking on myself. Let me get into sessions. These are completed recordings. Now, here's the thing is check this out. You see where I'm tracking the source? It comes from Google, cost per click. So this is technically somebody that clicked on my ad, my Google ad. I can tell they're from Wilmington. They clicked on two links. They spent 19 seconds. Right? So I would start to look for patterns in this. And I would say, man, if we're getting a lot of people that are only spending 20 seconds on our site after clicking our ad, either our ads messed up or something on the page they're looking for and they're not finding. But then I would go on and I would watch the video recording of this person interacting with the website. A little freaky. So this is somebody interacting. Oh, you know what I did was I'm skipping inactivity. So it's going to play a lot faster. But here we go. This is somebody interacting with the website. So they go to the blog page on our website. That's interesting. They clicked on our ad to go to the blog. Scrolling down a little bit, scrolling back up. Now they're going to how we can help. Now they're looking at the programmatic. And then I lost them. So with this one video, what I would take away from that is maybe the services drop down from my navigation menu is a little bit too overwhelming, right? That's what I would gather from that information. But again, I would start to look at some patterns here to see, do I notice any patterns across multiple users doing that? All right. You guys freaked out yet? In addition to that, you can use tools to personalize some of your content on your website, your images. So there's a really good example of, let me go to swellsystem.com. Swell is one of my other companies. And basically, let me show you what it looks like before I do anything. So notice the headline here. It says, run your business from one app, right? And as I scroll down, it's pretty geared towards not any specific industry, right? You don't need multiple apps to run your business, blah, blah, blah. So what we did was we built a plugin that basically dynamically inserts content. So if I just add a parameter to the URL, and I say accounting business, right? Hit enter. The text on this page is likely to change. So when you think of this from like an advertising standpoint, maybe I'm running ads geared towards accountants to try to get them to sign up for our software. Once I hit enter, K equals accounting software. Yeah, there we go. Run your accounting from one app. You can see the text dynamically changes on the page to fit that. So in terms of marketing and landing pages matching the marketing and the audience and everything, this is going to seem very hyper-personalized to this specific industry, And all I had to do was just pass a parameter in the URL. Now, there are tools out there that do something similar for you. One of them that's pretty popular is called Hyperize. Hyperize can personalize emails, images, as you'll see there, content on web pages, etc. Another example of this is we have a graphic that we generally send to clients, and I wish we had the time to get everybody together all the time for this graphic, but basically the way this works is this is just a graphic with us in front of an empty whiteboard, and I dynamically pass in the text from the URL. I like to eat. We'll wait for that to continue loading because it's a big image. But again, we generally send this as part of the onboarding UR onboarding email. Cannot type today. There we go. And then the text too, which would be the second line that we've programmed this, apples and bananas. You can tell I have kids. All right. So I hit enter and this will show up with my new text that I just put into place, right? So what I'm trying to say here is hyper-personalization is extremely important when it comes to conversion rate optimization, because the more specific I think your solution is for my what seems like unique problem, the more likely I'm going to do business with you, right? And you can see that image, which is a huge image, it basically has to render here, now contains the text that I just passed in the URL. I like to eat apples and bananas, which is a corny kid song that for some reason was the first thing that came to mind when I thought of what to type in this image. Let's see what else I have in play for you today. Retargeting. You've got tools such as AdRoll. AdRoll is a really good remarketing tool. Come on, computer. I think I loaded that huge image and now it's locking my computer out. All right, there we go. So AdRoll is a really good advertising platform that will personalize your ads to the people that visit your website based on what they're most interested in. Let's see. So AdRoll, you load a script up on your website and it can help you segment users based on what users interact with on your website. So if you're an e-commerce store, for example, this is one way like you start seeing or your customers start seeing those ads for that product they didn't finish checking out across the web. For me, a service-based business, this would be the example of they start seeing ads related to the blog page that they just visited or the digital marketing services page or the SEO page. So everything starts to become hyper-personalized to them. And then as they click through, maybe to other pages on my website, it starts to segment that user based on that criteria as well. And so those ads evolve and adapt based on what they're interested in. And with AI blended in, then the creative becomes dynamic, right? Based on what is converting the best. Charlene, and this is displaying directly on your website every time you sold to a new client? Correctly. So while that image, basically we put it in an email template in Gmail. So when it actually does get sent to the client, the image is super tiny. It doesn't take as long to load. The way that works is programmatically behind the scenes, it's got an image and then it's drawing the text on that image and then it caches that so that the next time it has to load that exact same image and text, it loads a lot faster and not as big. Let's see, there was something else I wanted to show you here real quick, and that is ChatGPT on the SEO side. So there's a whole webinar recording on this. I cannot do it justice in the amount of time that we have together today. But if you're interested, you can load up. It's called the SEO Expert Helpers, the one that I've created here. Or because I'm already in this thread, and a little tip, if you didn't know you can do this, is I can call on by using the at sign and then call on one of my other GPTs. So I'm going to say, hey, I need you to get the SEO Expert Helper GPT to help me out with this. I want you to create highly valuable blog post topics and outlines I could write about to attract and engage with my target audience. And it already will do the research for you. It does the keyword research. It finds out the information based on your target audience. Here's the outline for the different posts. So it's in the first post could be the ultimate guide to SEO for small businesses. Second one could be how to create a winning digital marketing strategy for 2024. It's giving me the outlines. I can then ask it to fully write these blog posts for me. And then I can post those or schedule those to go out across my website over a period of time, right? So now I've just fed my content strategy on my website for the next 3 to 12 months. All right, let me pause here for questions because I've thrown a lot at you in the last 55 minutes that we have been together. And I'd love to leave some time for any questions you guys have. And while you are hopefully giving me some really good questions here, I will paste in some contact information. So first and foremost is that if you found anything in this webinar helpful, I would appreciate if you took 2 seconds of your time. You don't even need to say anything if you don't want to, but just click that link in the chat, drop me a review. It helps us get found for other people who may be looking for help. And it just lets me know that I'm doing a good job. And then, as I mentioned, this presentation, the recording, these prompts, these GPTs, everything is available at this link that I just pasted in the chat there. All right, I've got a couple questions here. Don, quick question for a small local media company. Would a free 2 to 4 week ad campaign, Facebook, Instagram, email, be a good foot in the door? I'm impressed that I know what your shorthand writing means. If it generates traffic for her prospect, we talk prices. That is a question I think you can answer. I'm not sure what manpower you can have or how much time you devote to it. Maybe it's something where you create this sense of urgency where you only take on 20 people on this offer so you don't like over burn yourself out. But I think with ChatGPT and some of the tools that we have available, you can really expedite this process to make it where it doesn't consume a lot of your time. So yeah, basically I think most of your time investment is going to be spent on actually creating the creative, right? The ad copy, which, hey, I've got a ChatGPT for, and then getting access to the different accounts and ad budgets and things set up. But yeah, I think that's a good foot in the door offer. I've even seen people in this space where they charge based on results. So it's like for every lead I give you, you'll give me, I don't know, $50 or $100. You get to that price based on the business, right? What's the value of a lead to them? Jerry, what are the key metrics, KPIs that are typically used to measure conversion rates? So conversions, in my opinion, is the holy grail of KPIs because conversions, by definition, is what event you want the person to take on your website. So if I'm a service-based business like myself, I want them to call or fill out the contact form, right? So I'm going to track conversions based on how many people used the click-to-call feature on our website or they reached the thank you page after filling out the contact form, and that is a conversion for me. For an e-commerce store, it's probably going to be like, and you may have multiple. How many people added a product to the cart? How many people got to the checkout page? And then how many people actually checked out and got a thank you to your order page? And that helps you identify if you have any bottlenecks in your checkout process or funnel, because then you can see, oh, we had 100 people add to cart. We had 50 people go to the checkout page, but only 10 actually checked out. That would identify a potential problem. And that would be a use case of where you might want to split test, maybe making these changes, make it all on one page, the whole checkout, cart, everything versus the standard layout where it's across multiple pages. Any other questions that I can help with here? I think I addressed all my handy dandy. Oh, there's one thing. It correlates with something I said earlier, but in terms of providing value, keeping people interested on your website, here's an example on like how I am trying to do this with Design Loud and leverage like technology, which I hope emphasizes like how we try to stay on top of emerging trends and stuff. But this is like an interactive chatbot that relies heavily on ChatGPT to answer questions that we could basically put on our website. And you'll see here on the preview side, I want you to create a marketing plan for me, right? Or I need help marketing my business. Can you give me any information? So basically, and I'm using Zapier for this, I've given it a set of instructions and okay, here's how you address certain questions. Here's what I want you to do. And here's the overall objective of this chat, right? And the person just keeps interacting with it. So hopefully that keeps them on the website for longer, which increases my user experience is SEO. Jerry, we'll be sending a link for a survey later this afternoon. Please complete the short survey so they know whether or not to invite Derek back. It's really hit or miss right now. We don't know. Thank you. What resources, books, websites, courses would you recommend learning more about conversion rate optimization? I think Neil Patel does a really good job. I think it's unfortunate that this has changed the software, because when it was with Google Optimize and it was really easy to point and click to make these changes on your website, since then, all the other tools are paid. And if I understand the audience of these webinars, if we don't have to pay for something, we don't want a kind of thing. But there are tools out there that allow you to point and click and implement A-B split testing. Seth Godin is a really good author as far as marketing. Simon Sinek, those are some popular names I would check into. Or check out the community, because I try to review these. Anything I learn, I share. That's it. Yeah, I'm sure you're done hearing from me today. Hey, make sure you subscribe for more insights. And if you like this episode, consider sharing it with a friend. Join our free community at entrepreneurbootcamppodcast.com and let's start building a great business together.